This is HPR episode 2729 entitled Bash Tips 18 and is part of the series Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 32 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Erasing Bash Part 3.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, this is Dave Morris, welcome to Hacker Public Radio. I'm doing show Bash Tips number 18 today. This is the third of a group of shows on the subject of arrays in Bash. In the last show we looked at ways of accessing elements with negative indices and how to concatenate arrays. Then we launched into parameter expansion in the context of arrays. This was bit of a loop back to an earlier show where I talked about parameter expansion, but I never really concentrated much on arrays in that context. So I've discovered quite a lot more about what you can do with this stuff and arrays, so I thought I would share this with you. So I've got a few more of these parameter expansion things to look at in this episode. I was going to go on to some further stuff after that, but I'm going to put it in the next episode, talking about the declare built-in, which we've covered, but we haven't looked at in detail. And then there's commands which assist with loading data into arrays, and it does it in a better way than the way I've been doing so far. So the next parameter expansion operation is string replacement, and it allows you to perform a single replacement within a parameter string, or repeats the replacement throughout the entire string. And of course it can do the same sort of thing with arrays. The syntax is dollar open curly bracket parameter, whatever the parameter is, then a slash followed by a pattern followed by a further slash and then a string. So the pattern is a glob or ext glob, ext glob pattern. The parameter is expanded, and then a search is carried out for the longest match with the pattern. And there, when that's found, it's replaced with string. If there's no string in the syntax, then it deletes, this operation deletes the thing that matches. So in other words, replace the pattern with nothing. So you would write that as dollar open curly bracket parameter slash pattern close curly bracket. So there's no slash string in there. Now, the first character of pattern has a special meaning if it's one of the following three. If it's a slash, so you've got a double slash in that case, all matches of the pattern are replaced by string. So this is the one where it repeats the replacement throughout the string. If it's a hash mark, then it must match at the beginning of the expanded value of the parameter. If it's a percent sign, then it must match at the end of the expanded value of the parameter. So these are the things that we saw earlier on with where they were actually operators all by themselves. If you're trying to match a pattern that actually starts with a hash or a percent sign, then, or indeed a slash, you can use, you can put a backslash in front of the character to tell Bash that it's not meant to be one of these characters that have special meaning. So I've got a bunch of examples in this one. I haven't got many downloadable examples for this stuff until we get to the end, because it didn't seem worth it really. So what I've done is to show some examples of what you could type on the command line. The first one was setting a variable called phrase to a string, and it's using the old typing exercise, certainly the thing that I was taught when I was a kid, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of the party. I demonstrate here how you would take that and change the word men into people. So if you echo the phrase and put double quotes, dollar, open curly bracket, then phrase, the phrase is the name of the variable, slash men slash people, close curly bracket, close double quotes, then that will perform the operation. So when it's printed out, which is what the echo is doing, you see now it's time for all good people to come to the aid of the party. Now if we used a slash as the first character of pattern, and we can do things like replacing all occurrences of THE lowercase by THE uppercase. So you would do that with an expression, dollar, open curly bracket, phrase, two slashes, THE in lowercase, slash, THE in uppercase, close curly bracket, close quotes, and you'll see that you get these strange shouty these in the sentence. It's possible to use an ext glob pattern, as long as you've got ext glob or ext glob, whatever you want to call this setting, switched on. And I've made it an expression which begins with an at sign, and then in parentheses the words the, THE, and to, TO, separated by a vertical bar. So that's an ext glob pattern which matches either the or to. Then after that I put a slash and capital X. So it's just to demonstrate it. I've not spoken out the entire line here, but hopefully you'll get the gist. So it says, now is X time for all good men, X, etc. So it's replaced the instances of the two words by, well, actually not words, but sequences of letters, we should say, by the value X. Now, so unfortunately, it's not possible to vary the replacement string depending on the match. You need to write something more complex to do this, and I've got an example script later on which demonstrates the sort of thing that you could do if you wanted to go through and do selective replacements in a sentence. You can't do it in one of these expressions anyway. So if you wanted to do, you wanted to replace the capital N and the two letters that follow it at the start of the string in the variable phrase by the sequence of three capital X's, then you would use, I'll spell this one out, at least the variable expression, dollar, open curly bracket, phrase, slash, then a hash mark, meaning at the start of the string, capital N, question mark, slash, then three capital X's, close curly bracket, close quotes. So you'll then see XXX is the time. Now, what this is doing is, it is making a change at the start of the string. And you're giving it a string which is in the variable phrase. And there's only one start. You can replace whatever's at the start. So I've replaced the N and the three letters that follow it. But you can't do that multiple times because there's only one start. So this was not immediately obvious to me. Hopefully it is with you, but I want you to benefit from my mistakes. So I've tried to do a bit of an experiment or a demonstration which shows this business of trimming things off the front and the end of a string. So I've got a different variable, P2 I've called it, and it's equal to the string in single quotes, hash mark, ABC, hash, close single quote. And then I echo that as in double quotes, dollar, open curly bracket, P2, slash, then backslash, hash, close curly bracket, close double quotes. So that's it matching a case where the string itself begins with one of these magical characters. And you get back ABC without the leading. And I just for the sake of completeness, I guess, I did a similar thing where I won't read the whole thing. I've got P2 slash percent hash inside the curly brackets. And what that does is to remove the trailing hash. Because there we are using one of these controlling characters, these special characters after the slash, and it's the percent, which means do trimming at the end of the string, and the thing to remove is a hash. We don't need to backslash it because it's not a special, it's not a meta character in this particular case. So let's look at examples of all this stuff using arrays. If the parameters are an array expression using an at sign or an asterisk as an index, then the substitution is applied to each member of the array. So in my demonstration here, I declare an indexed array whose elements are the words from the example phrase. And the way I do that is to use declare space hyphen a space, and I've called the array words equals, and then open parenthesis dollar phrase close parenthesis. I've actually put spaces around phrase, but you don't need to, it just makes it a little easier to read. That's the only reason I put them there. So if you echo the expression in double quotes dollar open curly bracket words open square brackets at sign close square brackets slash question mark slash x, so what that's going to do is it's going to replace the first letter of each element with a capital X that's part of the expression. So instead of now is, we get XR, XS, and so on and so forth. You could do a similar thing with replacing the last letter of each element with an X by, inside the double quotes, putting dollar, open curly bracket, words, and in square brackets, an at sign, slash percent, this is the meta character X percent, question mark, slash capital X, close square, curly bracket, close double quotes. So here we see, instead of now, you get NOX, is, and it turns into IX, and so forth. Now here's an interesting one that was not obvious to me at the start. If the pattern part of the expression consists of a hash or a percent on its own, you can add text to each element at the start or the end. So I demonstrate this by an expression which is in double quotes, dollar, open curly bracket, words, open square bracket, at sign, close square bracket, slash, hash mark, slash, then an equals and a greater than sign and a space, close curly bracket, close double quotes. And then what you find is that in front of each word is an equal sign, a greater than sign, and a space, which looks like a little arrow type thing. And it's done. So you can do the similar thing by adding them to the end, but I won't spell that one out because I think it should be pretty obvious. It's in the notes here anyway. Now, it is possible for the string part of this expression to be a reference to another variable. And you could even put a command substitution in there, but it's not really very, it's not a very powerful feature. But so I've got a demonstration here of, in the double quotes after an echo, dollar, open curly bracket, words, square brackets, at sign, slash, hash mark, slash. And then there's the string part, dollar, open curly bracket, words, square brackets, one, close curly bracket, space, close curly bracket, double quotes. So it's taking the second word of words, remember they are indexed from zero, and just sticking it in front of every word. So that word is, so you're seeing is now, is the is time, and so on. So you can do that. I don't know, no idea why you would want to, but you could. But you can't change that value as you're going along. The value is derived once before the multiple substitutions begin. And I've written down here that this statement is not a script and is executed internally by bash. So you can't do stuff that you would use in a bash script that would change each time it was invoked. So my final example in this particular subsection is to use $random, that's capital, random written in capitals, which is a variable I've mentioned before, which when you put a dollar in front of it, you get back a random number. If you do that and you put it in an expression which prepends it to each element of the array, what you get is random is invoked once and the value that you get back is then used to stick and in front of each word. So in this particular test I did, the number came back as 9559. So that's just simply put in front of every word in the every element of the array. So it's you'd think, oh, that would be cool, I could do something with random numbers in, but you can't, not by this method. So the next and final parameter expansion we're going to look at today is the one where it allows you to change the case of the string in the parameter. Change the case of alphabetic characters, naturally enough, because it's hard to change the case of a number. So I've just taken the syntax diagrams from the GNU Bash manual and put them into the notes here. So you've got dollar, open curly bracket, and then the name of the parameter. And then you've got a caret, or an up arrow, if you like to call it that, followed by the pattern, then close curly bracket. That is the one case, the one instance. And the other one is where you put two of these characters, two circumflexes or carets or however you like to call them. So one or two of these things. Those two change to uppercase. The other two use a comma in between the parameter and the pattern, and you get one comma or two commas, and they force the matching characters to lowercase. Now it's important to understand what it says in the manual. It's one of these cases where you really need to read every word of the description in the manual. I'm not sure whether this is the case in the man page, or I was actually going from the GNU Bash manual. But it's important to understand what they're trying to say, because this is quite dense information and it took me a while for it to sink in. Let me read it to you. Each character in the expanded value of parameter is tested against pattern, and if it matches the pattern, its case is converted. The pattern should not attempt to match more than one character. So the pattern matches only one character, not a word or something similar. There's also another quote from the manual, part of which I put down here, and it says the caret character, or the up arrow character, and comma expansions match and convert only the first character in the expanded value. So if you're using single ones of these things, they only match the first character. So if you're expecting, as I did, things to work differently, you will be caught off guard by this. So that's why I'm making a point of the actual description. Hopefully it'll be clearer after my examples. Now if the pattern is omitted, it's treated as if it's a question mark, which will match every character. If the parameter is an array variable with an at or asterisk as subscript, then it's going to do things on the entire array, each element at a time. Let's look at simple variable case. And if we take the phrase that we were playing with earlier, now is the time thing, then if we echo in double quotes, dollar, open curly bracket, phrase, then two caret symbols, open square bracket, A-E-I-O-U, close square bracket, close curly bracket, close double quotes. What that's saying is to find every vowel and change its case to uppercase. So what you get back is a sentence or a phrase which says, now is the time where each vowel, the O and the I and the E and so forth, they're all changed to uppercase. That is, because we're using the double caret, it's going to find all the matches. So it's going to go to each element, each part of the string, each instance of a vowel in the string, and it's going to change it to uppercase. But if you use the next example, which is the same expression, but with a single caret, and apply that to the phrase, you get nothing. Nothing comes back, nothing changes. The first vowel is not converted. First vowel is the O of now. But that's because the pattern is compared with the first letter, capital N, which isn't a vowel, obviously. So it does nothing. And that's because of the matching with the first character in the parameter. Okay, I hope that's clear. So let's look at the array case. And we'll use the array called words, which we built earlier. And we're going to try using the vowel pattern again, because that seems like a good thing to play with. So if we echo in double quotes, dollar, open curly bracket, words, and in square brackets, an at sign, then we follow that with a single caret and square brackets, and then the vowels, close square brackets, close curly bracket, close double quotes. What that's going to do is to go down the array, and for each word, that's each element, it will replace the first vowel, the first character, with a capital form, if it's a vowel. So when you look at it, you see now is the time for all. So now doesn't have any vowel, doesn't start with a vowel, is begins with a vowel, so that's capitalized. The time, well, they both have vowels, but they're not the first one. For, it contains a vowel, but neither of them, the vowel is not at the start of the word. Then we come to all. Well, all is capitalized because it begins with the vowel. It's matched, I've written this down in probably a better way than I just said. It's matched any array element that starts with the vowel and has made the vowel leading vowel uppercase. So if we do the same thing again but use two caret signs, then that operates on all vowels in each element and gives the same result as when we used the single variable called phrase. You see now is the time with all, every vowel in every word has been upcased. And I did one where it does an equivalent but operates on all non-vowels, and you'll recall that you do that by simply beginning your square bracketed list of characters with a caret, which reverses the effect. So it's looking for all letters which are not vowel. So in this case it changes N-O-W to uppercase the W, because it's not a vowel. Is gets an uppercase S and so on. But the final point is to say that don't try the type of ext-glob type match when you're working in this sort of mode, because it doesn't work. So my example is after the two caret signs, an at, open parenthesis, good, and then vertical bar, men, close parenthesis. And so in other words, match either the words good or the word men, and run that, and nothing happened, because that doesn't match with the requirement in the manual, which says the pattern should not attempt to match more than one character. And here we're trying to match two words and it doesn't work. So let's get on finally to my two examples, which are very, very, very similar. They're both doing pretty much the same thing, but using two different methods. I was thinking about how would you make a script to change specific words into other words. I was thinking more in terms of the find and replace type operations. How would you do that in using loops and stuff? And I've said in the notes here, it's contrived and overly complex, changing selected words in a phrase by different words. But it's not a trivial exercise, but my first attempt at solving it is way, way over the top in terms of complexity. And after I'd written it, it suddenly hit me like a bolt of lightning that it was really daft way of doing it. So I wrote a better way and put that in the example too. I'll skim over this one fairly quickly. This script switches extglob on, that's the first point. It creates a variable called phrase with this wonderful now is the time business. It creates an empty variable called new phrase, that's going to contain the transformed thing. Then it declares two arrays. The first one is an associative array, which I call transform, and it consists of a bunch of elements. Remember, associative array takes words or character strings as in indices. So I'm making elements like one which where the key is, or the index is, the word good, and that the value relating to that is bad, the word bad. Then we've got men and people and party and community as the different keys and elements. We also declare a index array called keys. So what I then try and do is to make a pattern which is created by collecting together all the keys out of the array and turning them into a string that looks like, you know, key, a vertical bar key. And that's done by using the thing we talked about earlier on. Was it last episode? I can't remember. The open curly, dollar open curly bracket, exclamation mark, name of array, then in square brackets and at sign or an asterisk, close curly brackets. What that returns is a list of all the keys, and put that in the in the array called keys. Then make a variable called targets, which is made by adding vertical bars after each word, then take off the last one, because there was an extra one stuck on, then remove all spaces, because there were spaces crept in, and then finally save that in a variable called pattern. Didn't need to have done it this way, but which puts all that list together inside and after an at sign and inside parentheses. So we would have an expression or a string that consisted of an at sign, an open parenthesis, list of words, good, men, party, each separated by a vertical bar, close parenthesis. That's our pattern. It's an ext glob pattern. So then there's a loop which goes for word in dollar phrase, semicolon, space, do. So that's going to take the phrase and then work through each word within it, each space delimited word. And then there's a test if, and then in extended test with the double square brackets, dollar word equals equals dollar pattern. That's comparing the word that we just got with the ext glob pattern, semicolon, then word equals dollar open curly bracket transform square brackets dollar word close square bracket close curly bracket. So in other words, make the variable word equal whatever the element of the transform array contains relating to, corresponding with the key of that particular word. Then add the word that comes out of all this, which will either be the words as the loop presented it or will have been transformed, to adding it to new phrase with the space after it. Then at the end, echo new phrase. So that actually works. It actually goes through the phrase, now is the time for all good men, and you get back, now is the time for all bad people, blah blah blah. So whoopee. But it's quite a lot of work went into that. And as I say, for example too, there are other ways of doing this. And it struck me that the loop could simply check if the current word is in the transform array and replace the word if so and leave it alone if not. There's no explicit does key X exist in this associative array feature in Bash. So it's not entirely obvious how you do that until you think about it, or in my case, experiment with it a bit. So I've made a second example. The first one was called bash18ex1. This is ex1.sh. This is ex2.sh. And it's using a simpler way of transforming individual words in text. And the key of it is that we use the conditional expression that we looked at in show 2659, which is hyphen v space, then the name of a variable. Remember, the name of a variable, okay, not the contents, the name of it. We looked at it, I think I mentioned it, as we were looking at this list, great long list of conditional things. And I said that could be useful, but it wasn't entirely clear. I didn't go into details about how you would use it, as I recall. So looking at example two, it's pretty much the same. We declare phrase, we declare new phrase. This time we just declare the associative array transform, and I've added another word to it. So we've got good is to be transformed into bad, men become people, aid will become assistance, party will become community. The idea was that you could just add words to this array as the mood took you, and it would that would change the behavior of the script, and it would perform different transformations. So again, we've got a loop for word in dollar phrase, semicolon, space, do. But the test is if, and then in double square brackets, hyphen V space, transform, there's no dollar, transform square bracket, dollar word, close square bracket, close the double square brackets, semicolon, space, then. So that's a test to see whether the transform array with a key of whatever word is at this particular time, so in the first case it would be the word now, is there an element of transform with the key now, the capital N? Well, the answer will be no, there isn't, because, you know, there isn't one. And so that particular test would be skipped. But if it does match, then we set the variable word to whatever the value of that particular element is in the transform array, and then that gets saved in the variable new phrase by appending to the end with the plus equals as before. And we simply print that out at the end. So the important aspect of this is that it's possible to test if an element exists in an array, an associative array, by using hyphen V. It's not obvious from the description, but it is possible. The description says hyphen V varname is true if the shell variable varname is set, brackets has been assigned a value. I copied that into the notes here. That's not entirely clear to me as meaning does this array contain a key of this type. Well, it doesn't strictly mean that. It just means does it have an element which looks like this. And it will actually match, it will return true even if the array element with that particular key is empty. If you haven't set it to any values, I experimented with this, didn't put the experiment in the notes, but it will return true. Return false if it doesn't exist in that array. So that's really, it's a much, much, much better, it's not as clever, but then cleverness, sometimes the downfall of me anyway, trying to be too smart. So that works. And the other thing is the hyphen V is followed by the name of the variable. So the name of the array with the subscript amounts to the same. It's the name of the element, I guess. But anyway, that's what's acceptable. So if you run it, now of course I had to run this, now is the time for all bad people to come to the assistance of the community. Hope you find that useful. Bye now.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.